music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you...
Looking for a cool way to get involved in UBC sports? Then email sports101@citr.ca or come by our station in the Nest to find out more. See you soon.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
I was a prisoner.
I was a prisoner.
Cocaine addiction.
Cocaine took my drink. It made me lie, steal.
Cocaine took my will, my soul.
And all I wanted was more cocaine. Cocaine Anonymous gave me freedom and saved my life. If you got a problem with cocaine, pick up the phone. We're here to help.
Contact Cocaine Anonymous toll-free by calling 866-662-8300 or find them online at ca-bc.ca.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is CITR 101.9 from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. And this evening, you are listening to White Noise. Tonight, it's hosted by me, Connor. Now, that's a surprise, isn't it? It's a bit of a change.
What's happened?
Well, you know, honestly, this is how Brutus must have felt. Really quite delightful, actually, having a sort of, you know...
Stabbed your friend in the back.
Yeah, basically. Anyway.
Is that how you got to host tonight?
Oh, absolutely. It was more than just a little bit of a backstab. Anyway, Simon is absent this week, and that is a great shame. But with me tonight is anyone's choice co-host, Sierra Wiley. How are you doing, Sierra?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. A little bit sad that Simon's not here, but I think we'll manage just fine tonight.
We'll give it our best. And without further ado, I know what you've all come to listen to, and that is this week's special episode. I believe it's episode 69. So without further ado, here we go. It's some white noise.
Warning, the following programming may not be suitable for anyone. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Brexit. The delicious sounding nightmare. First up tonight, it's Easter.
That's it. I've had enough.
All right, well, just put your dish in the sink.
No, I mean, look. It's Easter. It's all wrong.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. Why Good Friday? All Fridays are good.
What? No, I mean... It's become as commercial as Christmas.
So true. Next, they'll be taking the Jesus out of 4th of July.
Well, I've had enough. Easter is meant to be about one thing only.
Right. It's about the bunny.
What?
The one who died for our sins.
No, that was Jesus.
Then why is he called the Easter Bunny? Oh, are they the same person?
No, the bunny thing is made up.
How do you know?
Because it's a story someone wrote in a book.
So is the Bible.
Whose side are you on?
Sorry, hun. I mean, go Jesus.
Oh, just help me fix this travesty.
How?
I don't know. No one seems to care that Jesus died for our sins.
Then give them the Easter Bunny.
Huh?
Let's crucify the Easter Bunny.
That will just confuse things further.
But then, when he doesn't resurrect 3 days later, it will make Jesus look pretty impressive.
Oh, he's already impressive.
Yeah, but he's old-fashioned. All his stories are in books. If he can't get those stories into 140 characters, no one is going to read it.
You can't compare Twitter to the Bible!
Well, he's never going to compete with only 12 followers.
Ugh, fine. We'll crucify the bunny. But I get to hammer the nails in.
Ooh, this is going to be just like summer camp.
The nearest I ever got to camp as a kid was hanging out with my Uncle Mike. You know, the one who likes musical theatre. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back. Rise and shine, Carl.
Oh, leave me alone. I was having an amazing dream.
Oh, and what about having sex with an actual woman?
Oh, no, that's Tuesdays. It was about eating this special food that doesn't come in a tin, and the tin doesn't have a picture of a dog on it.
Then how do you know if it's safe for Carl's?
Oh, that's why I never risk it.
Good boy. Want me to rub your belly?
I'm not a dog.
Well, you wear the collar.
Well, that's just because I'm kinky.
Oh, well, that might come in handy today. I've got you a job.
I'm not going to obedience classes again.
Nah, I got you a proper job.
I'm not putting anything inside me again, Neil.
Nothing like that. It's a proper job. You're going to be stripping.
Isn't that a girl's job?
Not on ladies' night.
Ladies, put your claws together for Carl Leathers.
Woo! Woo!
Give me a minute.
You want some money, pretty boy?
Yes. Ow! Don't throw coins. Who do you think you are? My dad?
Dance.
Okay.
Not like that, Carl.
But I only know how to do the Charleston.
Just take your clothes off, for fuck's sake.
Okay.
Don't fold them up.
But what if Mum sees?
It's fine, darling. Just do your best.
Oh, thanks, Mum.
Hurry up. I didn't come here to see a thong. I came here for a dong.
Well, it's a bit cold in here.
Not as cold as my marriage. Now get it off. Get it off. Get it off.
Fine. Here goes nothing. What?
It's no wonder you're always slouching.
It's not that big. Neil's got a way bigger one hidden under the mattress.
Your mum likes it. I once tried stripping, and the mall security immediately arrested me. Next up tonight, people are finding work.
Welcome to the Ministry of Inappropriate Work. Struggling to find a job because of a criminal record, or maybe just a shit personality? We can help sort you into a vocation you're absolutely unqualified for.
Next.
Hi there, I served 6 years for thieving.
Fancy work as a janitor at a prestigious art museum?
Perfect.
Next.
Hi there. I've been done for fraud.
Welcome to our loss prevention team.
Yay.
Next.
I killed 18 people and a cat.
No problem. We've got a spot available at the euthanasia clinic.
I'll get practicing.
Next.
Hello, I'm a registered sex offender.
Great. Let's have you doing lunches at a middle school. I'm totally joking. We have more need at the kindergarten.
I'll do me best.
Next!
Hi, I've got a couple of DUIs.
But I bet you can handle a school bus. Next!
Convicted arsonist?
You love working with burning piles of trash, right?
Totally.
Welcome to Donald Trump's cabinet! You're Secretary of Treasury!
But I can't count.
Neither can Trump! Next!
Disgrace manager at Lehman Brothers.
Ooh, that's going to be a tricky one. Let me see. How about CEO at HSBC?
Ooh, international fraud. Fancy.
I could do any job in the world, I'd do Steve Jobs. Next up tonight, some reality TV. Or should that be radio?
Welcome to Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares, Junior Edition. Today, Gordon is visiting a home ec class at Vancouver Middle School.
Okay, boys and girls, we have a special guest today.
Thank you, Mrs. Gerald.
Harold.
Whatever. Listen up, kids. I'm here today to prove to you how much better than you I am at cooking. All you need to do is not make it too easy. Today's dish is tacos, and I am an expert on them, as I once spent an entire week on an all-inclusive in Cancun. So remember, fresh, local ingredients, and plenty of f***ing swearing. Any questions?
What's a taco?
Jesus f*** Christ, how long have you been cooking?
This semester? I was in woodwork last year.
Well, it's a brown, yellow, f***, crunchy thing, all right?
Like a Dorito?
Yes, like a f*** Dorito. Got it?
Like a fucking Dorito.
Okay, station's ready. Begin. Move! Chop faster! Faster, you f***ing waste of space!
Yes, chef!
Let me taste it. Ah! Duh! Duh! Ah! Tastes like an old lady's c***. Do it again! What is that? It looks like a plate of sick!
God, it's beef and onions.
It even smells like sick!
I might have been sick.
Get out of my f***! Kitchen! Out!
This is a classroom.
If I say it's a kitchen, it's a f***! Kitchen. Time's nearly up. Hurry up! Hurry up! Oi! Pull your fingers out of your asses and plate this f***ing food!
Oh, there's no plates left.
Then serve it on your hands.
But it's really hot.
Do it! Time! Stop! Stop! Well done to those of you still standing. We started with 30. Four of you have managed not to piss your pants. I will now test your dishes and determine who will not be getting another bollocking. Jill, I'm not going to taste yours as you served it on your hands.
You told me to.
Not my problem. Harvey, I'll taste yours first.
Whoa, it went in my mouth.
Now you know how I feel. Next, Alice. Not bad. If I want to be poisoned. Lenny. Oh, wow. Lenny. Yes. Yes, this is it. The part of the show where I produce one tiny compliment to redeem myself after acting like a complete tosser for half an hour. Well done. Your food doesn't make me question every decision I've ever made.
Thank you, sir.
All right, calm down. You're still not fit to clean my shoes.
Oh.
Only joking. Now go polish them.
Yes, chef.
Gordon will be back next week when he visits a preschool for baking day.
Don't lick your f***ing fingers, you f***ing c***s.
People think Ramsay swears a lot, but that's just how people talk in Glasgow. Next up tonight, time for a family reunion.
Ah, so good to have all my colonies here.
Oh, hey, Dad.
Hello, Canada. Staying out of trouble?
Oh, yeah. I finally ditched that loser, Stephen Harper.
Good. Sorry to hear money isn't great, though.
Oh, well, yeah. It's not so many jobs, but we're getting pot soon, so there's that to look forward to.
Good, good. And Australia, how are you? You look like you've been working out.
Oh, you know it. Sun, sex and Sheila's. All I need.
Fair enough. And how about the black sheep, the one who left home too early but then got mega rich? Hey, USA?
So great. Huge things happening right now.
Well, you're not still fighting with China, are you?
No, not at all. Just everyone else.
Oh. And how are the grand colonies?
Puerto Rico is great. Hawaii still doesn't like talking to me, and Guam is being Guam.
Ah, what are you gonna do? Anyway, any more along the way?
Oh, I don't like the kiss and tell, but there might be a new bundle of joy along the way called Syria.
Oh, lovely. And it's already been demolished, so you can just start from scratch. Has anyone seen Uganda?
Oh, Uganda's not coming. Apparently, me being in a same-sex marriage offends him.
Ah, right. Yeah, that might be my fault. I certainly taught you all some inappropriate things when you were children.
Colonies were built on the idea Europe was superior. So why was everyone trying to sail away from it? Next up tonight is an advert.
From the people who brought you dog tea treats, catnips, and the best-selling cow sharing app, Cow2Go, comes the new service you barely need, WoofSat, the quickest way to rent a dog. Dogs are perfect for picking up women, pretending you're blind, or just so you can pick up dog poop without suspicion. They also make great light snack. So download WoofSat today and finally be able to pick up poo, free of shame. Warning, dogs may cause feelings of life purpose, companionship, the enjoyment of parks, and an acceptance of bad breath.
I once picked up a poo for a bet. Weekends were always a bit weird at Grandad's. Next up tonight, it's time for some art.
And here is a totem pole carved, we believe, between 1840 and 1845, probably by one of the many fine indigenous artists of the era.
Doesn't look that great to me. I wonder what people back then thought of it.
There. Done, finally. Whew. That was hard work. Next time I'm doing a watercolor.
What have you done?
What?
It's awful. Doesn't even look like a bird.
It's a frog.
A frog? That's not a frog! Do you need glasses?
Hey, it's art. It's subjective.
It really isn't.
Hey, leave me alone. What have you ever made?
Hey, I never said I could, but I'm not the one who's going to carry that lumber shit back to my mum and expect her to put it up outside her tent.
Yeah, everyone's a critic.
Yeah, thank God for that, or they might stick your crimes against nature in a museum.
Art is subjective, which is why I don't want to be subjected to it. Next up tonight, we return to my childhood in Blackmore. Bingo, bimbos and Braden. Yeah, school's out!
Richard, sit down. The bell is for me, not for you.
Well then you feckin' leave!
Detention, now!
Shit, now I'm gonna miss days of our lives! Aw, this is ridiculous! Detention? What are we, American? Can't you just hit me so I can go home?
Be quiet.
Psst, what are you in for?
Detention!
What'd you do, tithead?
Oh, you know, usual, being too gangster. You?
Stabbed a teacher.
Oh.
She was asking for it. Gave me an F, so I took her I. Give me a pencil case.
What? No, not my pencil case. Oh, please, leave it alone. I bet you don't even like the Spice Girls.
Give it here.
Quiet, Richard.
It's,
You got a problem with me?
No, Linda. Please stop looking at me.
Oh, shit.
Right, now give it here before I cut your cock off.
Joke's on you. My dick's tiny.
Give me the case.
No. I might regret this in the future, but right now, this pencil case is worth far more to me than my undersized winkle.
Give it, you little shit.
Feck off. Oi, teacher, stop her. Oh, fuck, he's gone.
Stop it.
You're choking me.
I'm trying to.
I'm not into this sort of thing.
Ha, got it. Now, if you want it back, you have to kiss me.
I'd rather you stab me. That was nearly my first kiss, but it certainly wasn't my first stabbing. Next up tonight, people are talking.
I can't believe I'm finally done college.
So what are you gonna do now?
Shit, I don't know.
How about a job?
Not many jobs for interpretive dance majors.
You got your minor in mime.
Still.
Then get a real job.
If I wanted a real job, I would've gotten a real degree.
You could join the family business.
No, it's embarrassing working for your parents. And I don't really think I'd make a good pimp.
Then join the army.
No way, I'm not going to war just because I didn't have a better idea.
Then start your own business.
Doing what?
Well, if you don't like pimping, you could try cleaning houses or washing windscreens at traffic lights.
Ah,
Fine, I give up. I'll do as you say. But I get to pick my own hose.
I could never be a pimp. I don't know any women. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Sierra Wiley, Caitlin Docking, Nick Rinker, Kenneth Tynan, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
All right, well, that was White Noise episode 69.
I love the show White Noise.
White Noise, episode 69.
There we go.
So, Sierra, 69 episodes. You've been here for basically every one of them.
Except for a brief respite where I had a lovely tropical vacation in Ottawa for 4 months at the beginning of 2016.
This is true. But so how do you feel? I mean, like, so this is subtract 10 for argument's sake. So how have you felt from episode 1, 59 episodes later, you hear it at 69.
I'm pretty sick of this shit. I'm thinking I might move to Toronto, actually.
Honestly, that's probably not a bad idea. I think some of the other members of the team might be thinking similarly. Honestly, this project's getting on. Getting a bit daft, really.
Jokes. We really like this show.
No, absolutely. We're going to be keeping this up.
It's a good time.
We're going to be keeping this up for a long time to come, yeah. Great show, as per usual. I think let's just dive straight into some killer tunes. Up first, we have a little bit of one of our favorite bands that we've played recently. This is Japanese Girls with A Comprehensive List of Things I Love.
Speed it up!
All right, welcome back to White Noise. That was Slipping Away by Diana off her album Familiar Touch. And before that, we had a comprehensive list of Things I Love by Japanese Girls off their album Divorce. Those are both stellar tracks. Japanese Girls, in particular, is a band that we've enjoyed a lot in the show. Sierra, I think you're a big fan, right?
Every time I hear them, I like them. Yeah, they're really good.
I can't wait till the next album. But in the meantime, as I wait for the next Japanese Girls album, we have a little chit-chat to do, as we often do on the White Noise After Show. I think Sierra's got a cool topic for us to discuss this week.
Yeah, so based on the sketch Connor wrote, actually, I thought this was an interesting one. We were talking about these ex-convicts and kind of interesting miscreants getting selected for really non-suitable jobs. So the question based on that is there a right job for a person? And, you know, should you do what you're good at or what you enjoy the most? Kind of like, is it really Soviet Russia or should we pick what we actually want to do? What do you think, Connor?
That's a fascinating one because, I mean, at the moment, in the spirit of sort of, you know, the way we've come in the Western world through the Enlightenment to our modern day philosophies of existentialism as well, I'm inclined to say, like, you should be able to do whatever you want. You know, it's your life. Try the things that make you happy, that make you feel, that give you purpose, and make you feel meaningful and worthwhile. It is a shame. It really is a shame when someone is good at something for physical attributes, perhaps, but doesn't want to pursue that. And you wonder perhaps if, you know, they didn't have the right experience with that particular sport or a particular kind of labor or whatever that would have really enamored them to that particular profession. But it'd be, I think it'd be a hard sell to try and force people into careers that their genetics might suggest they'd be good for.
Yeah, I mean, we're not robots, right? You know, we aren't, you know, finely tuned to fit into these narrow little spaces of, okay, you've got 50% aptitude for football. You've got 25% aptitude for accounting. You know, you ought to do this career based on your statistics. Like, fortunately, we're in a liberal enough society where you can choose based on your interests and you can, you know, to some extent, you know, limiting factors, of course, your economic background, your parents, your schooling. But I mean, I know Connor and I are both fortunate enough to have been able to choose where we wanted to go for university, choose our own major. And I'm even, like myself, facing a sort of renaissance in terms of what I'd like to do for a career afterwards after kind of throwing the idea of international relations to the wayside. Well, it's still something I'm very interested in. I don't know if I necessarily would like to go into the diplomatic service, shall we say. But that's sort of freeing, and I really enjoy having that liberty.
It's funny as well because a lot of people that you talk to, a lot of college counselors and people who've just been through the university experience will come to you and they'll say, hey, it's okay if you don't know what you want to do. It's okay if you take a degree in something and end up doing something completely different. Chances are you will. You'll learn something and end up doing something absolutely different based on hobbies or chance or other interests. And it's funny because we are, in a way, we're trying from a very young age to try and structure people towards what they're good at. Perhaps with the hope that they'll enjoy that and then that'll make things easy for them. Perhaps in the hope as well that will be helpful for society where people do things that they're good at. I mean, if you look at the SATs, which we would have both done, they break it down, right, into maths, writing, reading, and comprehension. And then they score you on each of those items. Doesn't matter what your score is as a whole necessarily, but those individual breakdowns are tremendously important.
And aren't those the absolute worst?
Oh, they're horrible. Yeah, they make you pay like $100, whatever it is, and then you just feel awful the whole time.
Well, it's like all of your personality, your aptitude, everything about you is supposed to be boiled down into one score of how you performed in math, reading, and writing. And even then, it's like not even really functional math, functional reading, or functional writing. I know I was always flabbergasted at, I grew up in the States, so I had to take something called the ACT, and we had to take practice test after practice test, and it drove me mad because there'd be a reading section, and I'd always do the worst on the reading section. Now, if you know anything about me, I'm a huge reader, and I was like always into like advanced reading classes, loved reading as many books as I could get my hands on, and I was just so annoyed that this test seemed so bogus that it almost made me want to do more poorly on it because of how frustrating the questions were, because it just didn't seem to respect your intelligence at all. And I know that there's been a lot of a really harsh response to this sort of push for standardized testing in North American schools, because that takes away from creativity, right? The minute, you know, they're trying to just train you to be monkeys in a capitalistic system, the minute they're taking away, you know, your unique ability to define for yourself what you want to do and who you are.
Absolutely. And it is a shame because I think across many different countries, they have a system like this where they do, and again, it might be with very good intentions, and I genuinely hope it is, that they try and say, hey, like, so far you've been through school and here's how you've measured up versus our various standardized tests and in-class participation and grading systems. And in certain places, in the UK, I can't speak for Canada so much because I haven't grown up here, but at a certain age, if you can either go on to high-level studies, like towards your university, or you can actually drop out of school, but you can stop your school early, I think when you're about 16 years old, and actually then join a trade school and begin to pick up like an apprenticeship or a trade, which on the one hand is great experience if that's something you want to do. But if, for instance, you know, you didn't apply yourself so much when you're in school for various reasons, like a bad home environment, perhaps you just want to be a bit of a rebel, perhaps you were just a little bit behind everyone else and you hadn't fully finished developing, you do get pushed into this idea of you become like electrician or some sort of person who works with technical tools and stuff. And that could be great if that's what you want to do, but it almost isn't a choice anymore. It's almost like a one or the other. And since you didn't do so well at school, this is the only other option. And it's a shame because really, anyone at any moment should be able, in a sense, to reinvent themselves and say, I want to try this.
Well, not necessarily, right? I mean, we come from a very privileged upbringing. My friend put it quite well the other day when he said, I realized I'm the minority in someone that gets to not to work to live, but to live to work, in the sense that, you know, he could choose what he wanted to do rather than just being in a situation of what just allows me to make the most money for my limited qualifications, you know, always the economic decision. I know looking to go to schools in the States, when I was originally applying to universities, I was completely held back by the fact that there were some schools that were $50,000, $60,000 a year. And that
if
was
not
just
more, yeah,
totally out of the range of possibility, right? So it's how many people have been held back from an amazing education, an amazing career path, because it was simply about, you know, how can they make ends meet? And the sad thing is, like, our society wouldn't run if we didn't have people who were doing those more menial jobs. Like, if everyone was doing a job that was their absolute dream, you know, before we've got AI and advanced robotics coming into play and a universal basic income, a lot of people are doing something that they aren't going to enjoy.
And that is a phenomenal point, because it really raises an interesting paradigm in that it's great to be able to say, like, oh, we should be able to do whatever we want. And in many cases, like, if you want to throw everything, your life, to the wind, you can, in a sense. But so many people are not in a position where that is a really viable opportunity. It makes far more sense to do a job that you don't really care about, but, like, makes ends meet. Mm-hmm. At least maybe you hope that, like, you pick up some stuff on the side. A lot of people, like, for instance, actors and stuff, will do waitering and stuff like that. And I know they don't love waitering. It's kind of a job so that they can live as they pursue their other stuff. And there's always, hopefully, the opportunity. But some people, as you say, get stuck into a system that isn't anything to do with their choice, where the idea of becoming an actor, it seems so far-fetched and out of reach when you know that the job down at the power plant and the coal mine is one that'll take you, that your father did, that's helpful for the community, and that'll get you what you need to survive.
Right, and it's even like, and when you take into the context of people who are coming from a different country, don't have the right qualifications, I know what always surprised me was, I've worked a lot of part-time jobs in delis, coffee shops, you name it, different types of retail to make kind of ends meet during university. And I'd meet people who were far more qualified than myself, but because they had come from a different country, even if their English was incredibly proficient, they just didn't have the visas worked out properly or their degree wasn't recognized. I know a friend of mine had a master's in psych. Another guy had a degree from a law school, and the first was from Poland and the second Ukraine, and they were working at a bakery for a minimum wage, and that was a better opportunity. And I remember this heartbreaking conversation with the second guy who was just working as the dishwasher in the bakery, and I was like, you're qualified to go to law school and you're washing dishes, doesn't this just break your heart? And he goes, no, because I'm making more money here than my friends do at law firms back in Kiev. And I was like, well, can you retrain to kind of, you know, get your qualifications to match up for Vancouver? And he's like, what would be the point? You know, I don't have that kind of money. I can't save up that kind of money. There's just no point to it all. And that just really kind of broke me down for a while. And I'm like, how lucky am I to be able to kind of pass by this as a temporary post while some people kind of are stuck here for a lot longer?
And then that's such a staggering thing as well to think, yeah, that, especially on minimum wage in Vancouver. Minimum wage in Vancouver is in many ways barely livable, your circumstances depending.
So for us, at least.
Yeah, and the fact that that's still better than the medium to high profile kind of law job back in Kiev is staggering, but also makes, yeah, it makes you so reflective, and it makes you value the privilege that you're sort of both born with and have the luck to stumble upon.
And the question is, what do we do with that?
And that is a question, is that, yeah, I mean, we all, I think we'll both agree here that we really ought to and should try and see what kind of jobs we like and see what we can make from life in many different ways, not just find ourselves stuck into one career path. But it becomes hard.
Yeah, and if I may get political here for a second, I think it's also about opening borders and retraining programs, having the proper kind of immersion or assimilation programs to help people, you know, who are moving here. I actually really admire what Canada's done with its private sponsored refugee program of getting people like immediate. So the big thing has been with the Syrian refugees, you know, immediately getting people involved in families, giving them the funding they need, English classes, kids access to school. And, you know, perhaps, you know, I'm only seeing the tip of the iceberg, but it has seemed generally pretty positive as opposed to like some other countries where they're pushed out to kind of like the rim of the out exurbs of different cities. And so I think the more that you have these really strong policy initiatives that welcome immigrants, that you can hopefully, you know, pave that better way.
Absolutely. And it's also, just as a last remark, we're going to move in some songs soon. It's also worth as well that we also can't forget those that live in the country that we're from that have been pushed down. And
very
working class people who have unfortunately had it rough, perhaps for a few generations. And I think some of the things you're talking about right there are just as applicable to those who are struggling near the poverty line in Canada as more long-term Canadians than immigrants as well. But yeah, there's a fine balancing act we need to do to be able to give everyone the opportunity that hopefully, you know, they can embrace.
Definitely. Well said.
All right. So with that under wraps, we're going to move into a little bit more music now. And first, we have Louise Burns with Storms coming from her album Young Mopes. This is it.
it online. Advice guru, why does my brain do the things that it do? I press confirm inside my head. I'm waiting for my new mood to begin.
Moods, baby, moods.
Behind the shelter of the colors. Stop to rest beneath the shadow of a tree. Why is everything looking at me? I'm waiting for my new mood to begin. But there's an error message in my head.
All right, welcome back to White Noise. That was Moods by Sunny and the Sunsets off their album Moods, Baby Moods.
That was a pretty moody song.
It was, it wasn't. It was cool to get a little bit of funk and kind of groove into the mix this evening as well.
A little more cloudy than sunny, but you know, it's all good. I'm sure they had some sunshiny tracks on there.
The moniker seems a bit deceptive. All right, so without further ado, we're going to continue our little after-show chat. And I want to bring up, as our next point of topic, the fact that only yesterday, Theresa May, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, has called for a general election on the 8th of June.
Well, we don't care about the UK on this show. Why are you bringing that up?
Yeah, honestly, like, their heyday's over. It's kind of like, why focus on, the old Holy Roman Empire?
They've got grand colonies now. Why should we talk about them?
The Byzantines are so 1200s. But yeah, so Theresa May has just called a general election for June. This is not even a year into her premiership, but is over a year into the Conservative Party leadership in the UK. But significantly, it comes only a few weeks after Theresa May submitted Article 50 to the EU, remarking on Britain's desire to leave the EU. Sierra, what do you make of this?
Well, initially, it stinks a little bit of a coup, and I don't think I'm the first one to claim that. But there just seems to be this overarching idea of consolidating conservative leadership to make sure there's not too much dissent in Parliament, and that just kind of leaves me with a bad taste in my mouth. How about you, Connor?
I think you've made a great point there. This is an excellent opportunity for Theresa May and the Conservative Party to really realign their own members in Parliament. And of course, a general election is never easy and never smooth, and it's unpredictable. So you never know who's going to win each by-election. But if they can get more rank-and-file Conservatives who are behind the Brexit strategy, that'll make things way easier for them moving forward. It already seems like there's a lot of dissent within the party, and so this could be a fantastic opportunity for them to really close those voices of dissent and push them out of the party, perhaps.
Do you know if Corbyn will still be leading Labour? Has that been a question that's been brought up?
That's not a question that's been brought up. It seems like he will continue to be the Labour leader. However, Labour themselves aren't in a strong spot.
No,
after their sort of wishy-washy...
The SNP kind of clutched a lot of seats last
election,
they
did, and
right?
That's going to be fascinating as well. They have 36 out of 39 seats in Scotland. Lib Jeez. Dems, Conservatives and Labour each have one. Does this mean that they will go and clinch all 39 and essentially block off the entirety of Scotland into the Scottish National Party? Perhaps. Labour aren't strong at the moment. They've had infighting, their wishy-washiness during the Brexit campaign was remarked on heavily. Perhaps this is an opportunity for the Lib Dems to claw some seats back, as they did quite poorly in the last election following their inability to work with the Conservatives in the coalition previously.
Yeah, I just think May should be careful about this idea of Conservative domination. You know, it's not necessarily going to clinch it like that. I think if the last year of politics have shown us anything, it's that things are unpredictable and that you can't be sure of your victory before it's arrived.
So do you see this as May trying to strengthen her position, or do you see this as a sign of weakness that she's not sure she can do the job?
I think it's both. So she's trying to strengthen her position because she's unsure and because there's this idea of dissent within Parliament. And, you know, she's going for a huge break right here, right? I mean, no matter whether she wants to push forward or not, Brexit is a huge deal. And so her and the rest of the Conservative Party are going to have to make sure they've got the perfect team to do it. And they're going to make a lot of people really pissed. Like, that's the thing, right? It's a tricky, tricky thing to finagle. And it's going to take them years to manage. Like, I remember one of my poly profs saying, like, even if they do this the quick way, it's going to take like 5 to 10 years. Any EU negotiations take an eternity to sort out, right? Like, how
Absolutely.
Long do you think it's taken Switzerland and Norway to figure out their special position, special friendship with the EU?
And that's just to negotiate the first time, not renegotiate it, like,
right.
From like tabula rasa.
With all the bitterness too, right?
Absolutely.
Like, the EU isn't happy that Britain wants to leave. They're one of the biggest economies in Europe. Like,
yeah. The funny thing is, though, if this is just as David Cameron miscalculated in his campaign pledge to have a referendum on Brexit, if Theresa May is just as misguided and they end up losing the majority in Parliament, this could be catastrophic for British governance. If Labour or a coalition of Labour and perhaps SNP and perhaps Lib Dem come together, a lot of them were anti-Brexit, and a lot of Conservatives were as well, it's worth mentioning. But suddenly it's someone else's mess entirely. And that'll really throw things up in the air, and I'm not sure where that's going.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. We shall see.
We shall see indeed. Anyway, to close off the show, we have one last topic that, Sierra, you can introduce for us this evening.
Yeah, so something I think has been thrown around the world lately, has been the idea that we're in this golden age of television, I think from 2000 onwards, but really I think in the past like 5 to 7 years, very much so with these popular home streaming services, the popularity.
Like Amazon Prime.
Yes, naturally. We're all on Hulu, right? Because the term is Hulu and chill.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know when it's entered into the popular zeitgeist that it's a thing that everyone does, right?
I was doing some priming and diming the other day.
Some priming and diming?
Makes it sound like a bit like prostitution, doesn't it?
It really does. Jeez. You can't do that at Redbox, can you?
Oh, not at all.
Anyway, so Connor and I quite enjoy Netflix at home and the ability to watch like all these incredible shows. And even just in the past year, it's just this availability across so many different genres, across you're getting access to TV shows from different countries. I know in terms of foreign TV shows, really enjoyed Narcos, if you could count that almost as a foreign show.
Maybe,
this
yeah.
Show called Occupert, or like it's a Norwegian idea of like being occupied by Russia in the near future. A French show on Marseille's political scene called Marseille. There's also Forbidelsen, which is the Danish show about a crime mystery show.
It's been remade in the US as The Killing. The Killing is its translation. The
Correct.
Original is fantastic.
Yeah, and so basically the idea here is just there seems to be such a treasure trove of television series to watch, and it seems like there's quite the appetite for it, and I really enjoy the depth and the dispersion of different shows available.
It's fantastic, and particularly, yeah, as you mentioned, with the rise of these streaming services, Hulu, Netflix has to be the trendsetter. It is the pacemaker.
It is, yeah.
And you're right, there's so much availability of shows, new shows and old shows domestic and from foreign countries, that it really blows your imagination, and you could spend so many hours of the day on Netflix and
people
still not
do.
Scratch the surface of the entire library that they keep adding and subtracting from. And it really, it's turned into, as the colloquial phrase goes, Netflix and chill, while there's not always sexual undertones, a regular hobby or a pastime for most people these days, most people at least in who have great internet access and access to Netflix, is to sit down and watch maybe an hour or two or 3 hours of television every evening.
And the funny thing is, like, some people might suggest, you know, oh, you're wasting your time. Like, why are you doing this watching television? But it's been the pastime of North Americans for, like, 60 years now. And it's, like, still, like, a...
More, probably. I mean, you think the Golden Age of cinema...
50s?
Well, maybe if we're going to have a divide between cinema and TV, perhaps, yeah. But certainly filmography in general has been... Since, really the 1920s, really.
And if you want to make an economic comparison, like economic output is only rising, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but just the idea is, like, I think that there's something to be gained by watching certain television series. Like, but as long as you're watching the right ones, right? Like, it's about, it's similar to the idea of reading good quality books.
So to be critical and to learn, really, as well.
Yeah,
right?
And it's like, I have no time for like really, you know, lame shows that only scratch the surface and... don't really make me think about anything, but shows that are entertaining, thought-provoking, and kind of accompany you in a time when you really needed it are, I think, really worthwhile. And something, a piece of art that you can enjoy and that strikes you in the proper moment, I think there's immense value to that.
Absolutely. And the fact that even, like, I mean, looking at Netflix particularly, the amount of new content that they've produced or bought... And the quality of it, the Netflix programs, ones that are marketed as Netflix originals, the ones I've seen have always been, and this is probably 5 or 6 now, fantastic, amazing production quality, great acting. The whole thing has been amazing. Yeah, again, not surface level, very deep, very well thought out, very well produced. I've never been disappointed so far by the Netflix originals I've watched.
Yeah, they're little universes onto themselves. And then there's the whole aspect of community from it. Like, how many people are you able to bond with based on the fact that you've shared the same shows? And, you know, I know you and your friend Jake are always talking about the show Rick and Morty, for instance, which
great
is a
show.
Hugely entertaining show if you're looking for any recommendations. But it's the ability to kind of have something to reference and just to be able to take some time out of your day to really laugh, right? Like, that's something we aim to do in this show.
And one of the things is that in previous generations, before streaming became a real big thing and, like, digital libraries became so important, is that, yeah, you might have, like, important TV shows that everyone could connect to because everyone's watching the same shows because there's only the several channels. And so every night everyone's watching TV, they're watching the same programs, and they connect to each other through that. But this way, it's amazing that you could watch some of the same shows, absolutely, and connect like that way. But you can watch so many different shows and then be able to relate to each other by recommending and suggesting and saying, hey, I'll check out that show you recommended. And it allows for new pathways to be built in sharing what you've earlier said is an art, really.
I know Simon's never done that, recommended any TV
shows. Simon is an absolute joy. He recommends so many TV shows. I actually